Welcome to Enabled by ESOS Capital Podcast, where we interview leading tech founders, operators, and investors in the ESOS Capital ecosystem on how tech has enabled their growth. In this episode, I'm speaking with Harrison Tang, the president, CEO, and co-founder of Spokio, a people search engine with over 14 billion records and 15 million visitors per month.
All right. Hi, Harrison. Thanks so much for joining the show and welcome to Enabled by ESOS Capital.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me, Sally.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, I've read so much about you online about both you and the Spokio story, and I'm just incredibly inspired. You know, you founded Spokio right after graduating from Stanford in 06. So, you know, I'm really curious about on my behalf and that of our listeners, you know, sort of tell me about yourself. You know, what has your background been? What drove you to found a company right after college? And how has it been like, you know, founding Spokio and evolving?
Sure. So I'm Harrison Tang. I'm the co-founder and CEO of Spokio. We are one of the biggest people search engines and data aggregators in the United States. We aggregate about 15 billion records into 600 million entities and profiles so that 15 million users a month can search, connect, and know who they're dealing with. So I started Spokio actually back in 2006, so more than a decade ago. I guess so we're the granddaddy of internet companies now. We started out as a social network aggregator. Back in 2006, you know, every other month, it seems like there's a new social network popping up. Facebook wasn't the biggest. Actually, MySpace is the biggest, and Friendster was bigger than Facebook at that time. So we thought there's a unique opportunity to aggregate different social content to streamline people's digital lifestyle. So we started out as a social network aggregator, got some press and things like that, but we later realized it's hard to monetize. So we have to really try different things and try to evolve to find the product market fit and, for lack of a better term, keep the lights on. And over time, in the past decade, we have the luxury and also the opportunity and the luck to really build out one of the biggest people search engines and data aggregators in the United States. And we're very, very honored to have that opportunity to serve so many users and make a difference in the world and make data for good, for lack of a better term.
Wonderful, wonderful. That's fantastic. You know, I saw some on your LinkedIn that, you know, this hasn't been like any successful entrepreneur, a completely smooth journey. And as you mentioned, Spokio started out as one thing and it kind of evolved to where it is today, being the sort of data insights giant that it is. So, you know, could you tell me a little bit about, you know, the challenges that you've overcome throughout this journey?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's multiple different kinds of challenges, but the one that really comes to mind is in the beginning, you know, we're just trying to find the product market fit, trying to figure out how do we monetize the service so that we can keep the lights on and, and actually not go belly up. You know, our investors are the dumbest investors in the world, which are our parents, you know, like, and actually later I realized my parents are actually not that dumb after all, because, when I later asked my dad, you know, why he invested, he told me it's because my mom keep nagging him about it. So I guess they're not that dumb after all, but that was our investors. And I remember a time where, we almost went out of cash and I have to go to my parents and then say, hey, can you, no, we're, I'm a bad son. Sorry to lose your money. Can we get a little bit more so that we can continue going? And I just remember my dad told me, you know, the first thing he said is, you know, it's okay because when I gave it to you, I already written it off, right? So kind of consistent to the theme and the belief that he had in us when he gave us the money. But the second and most important thing he shared with me is that he said, hey, son, success is not about how high your IQ is or whether you gone to the Ivy League schools or not. It's actually about whether you can outlast your competition. So We took that to heart. We didn't give up, and and here we are today.
Wonderful! Wow, that's an incredible inspiration. So with your dad's inspiration in mind, it seems that Spokio has come an incredible long way. You know, how was it sort of recruiting your initial team? Because at first, you know, you have to grow this team from essentially yourself and then to something bigger and then now to the scale of now. So how did you sort of recruit your first team members? And then how do you sort of, how does that differ from the message that Spokio has now?
Yeah, so when we first recruited our team members, actually my founding team are all my roommates in college or in master's programs at some point in time. And the reason is quite simple, if you think about it, is because, you know, my roommates and my college roommates or master's roommates from Stanford, they could have gone to Google or Facebook and all that stuff. But the only competitive advantage I have is just peer pressure. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You know, no one really trusting us when we first started. This was before the movie The Social Network. So starting a company wasn't that hot back then. And no one wanted to invest in us. No one wants to join. So the only thing I got is I drove to LA. I was in Bay Area at that time. I drove to LA and I told my former roommate and say, hey, you know, what kind of roommate or what kind of friend are you if you don't join? I mean, that's all I got. So that's why they were all my roommates, because that's the only people that we can get at that time. So obviously things have evolved quite a bit, as the company grow to a certain size, obviously that peer pressure tactic doesn't work, right? So you got to do something else. You got to have a very strong, clear mission, vision, and strategy. And for us, our mission is to make the world around us more transparent. And our vision is to redefine and clarify what identity means for people. You know, I think, you know, there has been certain hype and terms around what 3.0 and decentralized identities, you know, these kind of things really start, attracts talents who want to make a difference and who want to redefine one of the key questions in English, which is the question of who we are, right? So I think things obviously have to change. Peer pressure only works so far. So what we were doing when I attract talents in the very beginning versus what we're doing right now actually obviously have to evolve over time.
Obviously. I saw an interview you did with Innovate Pasadena, and I thought that was such a unique place. Well, not necessarily unique, but choosing LA, Pasadena versus San Francisco, as do a lot of startups do. I think that's an incredibly smart decision because, as you pointed out, you know, there's Caltech and all this incredible talent in LA. So I find that to be a very wise decision. And I guess the last question I have on Spokio for now is sort of, as you said, in 2006, there wasn't this kind of data aggregator company that was around. So obviously it's in a way, it's now distinguishing Spokio as a company versus your competitors is also a little bit different versus back then when it was just starting to be introduced, the idea of a data aggregator. So, you know, in terms of distinguishing and standing out in the market as a company, how have you thought about that? What's the insight behind that?
Yeah, so one of our core values is ask the why. And to really understand the why, you need to dig deeper. And we're actually one of the, if not the only company in our space that's vertically integrated. So most of the direct-to-consumer people search sites today, they build their websites on top of someone else's API. And most of the data companies don't have a direct-to-consumer portal and window to the world. So we are actually one of the very few, if not the only company in our direct marketplace that's vertically integrated. That's not only aggregate our own data, but also build data power experiences on top of it. And this will allow us to deliver unique data insights and what we call beautiful data, right? And what's beautiful data? Well, if you really think about it, data adds raw form represents the voice of a person or an entity. And according to a famous philosopher, Wittgenstein, right, that voice represents an image in people's minds. So how do you actually unlock that beauty in people's minds? How do you unlock the beauty that lies within every single piece of data? That requires a very deep understanding of what data means. And that requires a very good capability to draw or present data stories, right? And that's what we call beautiful data. And that requires that vertical integration between data plus the web of what we call, data technology plus user experiences, and that's what differentiates Spokio from our direct competitions.
Fantastic. That's a fantastic answer because it actually kind of segues into my next question, which is about tech enablement. In terms of tech enabling an entire industry, I think Spokio has really been on the forefront in the sort of data intelligence and personal record space. So I guess my question is really, how has tech enablement played a role for your company and that of your industry? So for example, in the past, when personal records were still pieces of paper lying in suppositories, I guess you and Spokio have been a driving force behind turning paper into what you describe as data stories. So how do you think about tech enabling an entire industry and that of your company?
Yeah, definitely. So we're a data company, so we like to be exact about our definition. So technology is the how to solve or enable the what, right? So it's the knowledge or the how to really solve a particular problem. So internet, when it first started, it's really trying to help connecting people in the digital way. So if you explain it, the web 1.0 is really about bringing those data online. Right. So it's really about using a technical term, read, right? Enable the content consumption online. And Web 2.0, as the technology evolved, fast forward to around 2005, 2006, when the Web 2.0 becomes more and more popular, the enablement of consumption information gets expanded. So that it includes the generation of content. Web 2.0 era is really being embodied as user-generated data, right? So user-generated data such as social media and things like that, that empowers users to not just consume content, but also creating their own, really is the embodiment of the Web 2.0 era. And fast forward to today, the technology has evolved. And what I believe the Web 3.0 is going to be including not just the consumption and generation of content, but also the concept of ownership of content and also the concept of ownership of identity, right? So the emergence of CCPA, GDPR, or what is going to come up as the Bill of Rights for people's digital identity in the digital identity context, I think that will be the future of technology. And that tech enablement of in the identity context, right? Enabling not just consumption generation, but also now the idea of ownership, I think, will make a lot of differences and also make the world a lot more interesting. Yeah.
Definitely. It's wonderful that you touched on sort of this interesting sort of ownership of your own identity online issue, because I believe it's going to be the driving force behind not just the sort of data intel vertical, but also across a variety of verticals across different industries. So turning a little bit to Ethos Capital, the namesake of the podcast, what do you think specifically about their sort of tech enabling the world strategy, so to speak? Or how do you think of it as an advisor?
Yeah, so I think at the end of the day, everything we do nowadays need to have tech because, again, tech is the how that solves the what, right? And there's multiple different multiple different problems that we can solve. Earlier, we talked about the idea of identity, right? Coming from physical identity and now the emergence and the popularity of digital identity, you know? And obviously it's more than that, whether it's Internet of Things, you know, smart devices and agricultures and all these things. These are the problems that we can solve. And there's many different technologies that can enable those, enable the solutions. You know, I'll just give an example. In the Internet of Things, for example, the idea of identity is also quite relevant because the identity is characteristic and attributes about this about distinct entity. And a thing and a device is an entity as well with an independent existence, right? So in the Internet of Things, how do you actually enable such identity, right? And also create a log, right? Using distributed ledgers, right? A lineage of what they're doing, right? And that creates and validates their existence. And you know, those are active research and active technology forefronts that's working. And new technologies such as the one that I just bring about, you know, distributed ledgers, token-based economies, cryptography, and things like that, you know, can really, really push these things forward that otherwise couldn't have been done. So I think the thesis of tech-enabled strategy is quite relevant because, you know, there is new technologies coming up all the time, and they can enable us to solve problems in a more efficient and a more beautiful way, for lack of a better term.
That's definitely a beautiful term. You know, I think when you touched on, you know, technology is currently basically bridging the how and the what, that's really reminds me of something an investor that I previously met has said, which is, you know, a tech is very different from a science in that a technology is ultimately what will enable. And every day that you will see all these new technologies coming out, and we will see all kinds of new businesses emerging from that, all of which will in some form or fashion maybe benefit from DLT technology in today's terms. I guess my last question is something that you also have already touched on, which is, you know, what are some trends in the greater sort of data and intel world that really excites you? So previously you spoke a little bit about Web 3.0, but, you know, I spoke to you as a B2C data aggregator, you know, what are some trends that you see in this vertical and also across various industries that really excite you?
Yeah, definitely. I think the big ideas, obviously, especially in the context of Web 3.0, I think we're in a transition phase between Web 2.0 and Web 3.0 is really going to mature in the next 5 to 10 years. I think the key thing is this idea of decentralization, right? And decentralization is really defined as the opposite of concentration of authority and power to a few or a single entity, essentially, right? So the ultimate form of decentralization, if you think about it, is where you empower every single one of us, tens of billions of users, to really make and you know, control their own stuff, right? And in this case, in the idea of identity, it's what's called self-sovereign identity. You know, and I think for us, Spokio, our mission is really about transparency, right? Helping further this transparency. And the ultimate idea of transparency is what we call epistemic transparency, which is the how to solve the what. And in this case, metaphysics or the idea of being. And well, our goal is to build all these technologies to enable you, every single one of us, you know, to really you know, be able to control our identity and actually present it and utilize it so that we can actually be, you know, be ourselves in this increasingly digital universe. And that's what we're trying to do. And I think, you know, that's actually the most exciting trends that I see in our industry. And obviously, I want us to be positioned, well positioned in the most exciting trends. And that's why, you know, that's why we are talking about this. Yeah.
Wonderful. I guess a last sort of fun question would be, you know, if Harrison, right now you could say something to every single entrepreneurial student who's about to graduate from Stanford or a university, you know, what kind of advice would you give them?
I would say, you know, there's multiple ways to solve a problem and there are different roads that lead to wrong, right? So I think the key advice is not that I can give is not what you can do or what solutions that I can give to solve a particular problem, but rather it's about the attitude that we need to have in order to succeed. And I think common attitudes that I've seen in successful entrepreneurs obviously is persistence, right? You know, if people give up too easily, they won't be able to overcome all the challenges that none of us can foresee at this moment, right? So persistence is definitely something that I see is very, very commonplace in successful entrepreneurs. Another one is discipline. You know, I think when we all encounter a problem, it's quite normal for us to feel a little bit despondent at times. You know, but do you have the discipline to overcome it? You know, so I think that's another aspect the attitude that I see in successful entrepreneurs. So I don't think I can share or really talk about a particular solution because at the end of the day, there is no perfect medicine that solves all diseases. But I think if we all have a very positive attitude, the persistence, right, and the discipline, I'm sure that we can overcome any problem that comes our way.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Harrison. You know, I would say that Spokio is actually the first sort of data aggregator website that I've been to where I finally saw that, oh, there's a way of me to take control of my own data story. So this has been a fantastic opportunity to be able to sit down with you and have this talk. And we really look forward to, you know, potentially in the future, having you back for more of these discussions.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Sally. Mm-hmm.